This is Gina McCarthy. I'm here with the Assistant Secretary of the Army for Civil Works, Joe Allen Darcy. We're here on the banks of the Anacostia River in Washington, D.C., where local youth with the Earth Conservation Corps work every day to clean trash out of the water. It's a powerful reminder for us of a simple fact, that the lakes and rivers we love to be clean, the streams and wetlands that feed them, also need to be clean, too. The Clean Water Act has protected our health for more than 40 years and helped our nation clean up hundreds of thousands of miles of polluted waterways to the benefit of communities and businesses. But Supreme Court cases in 2001 and 2006 put protection of 60% of our nation's streams and millions of acres of wetland into question. Members of Congress, the Supreme Court, farmers, ranchers, small business owners, hunters, anglers, and others called on EPA and the Army to make a rule to clarify where the Clean Water Act applies. So today we're answering that call. We're finalizing a clean water rule to protect the streams and wetlands that 1 in 3 Americans rely on for drinking water. And we're doing that without creating any new permitting requirements and maintaining all previous exemptions and exclusions. Now that's a very important point I want to you all to make clear. We are doing this without creating any new permitting requirements and maintaining all previous exemptions and exclusions. And in fact, we're adding exclusions for features like artificial lakes and ponds, water-filled depressions from construction, and grass swales. The rule will make it easier to identify protected waters and will make those protections consistent with the law and the latest peer-reviewed science. The agency has received more than 1 million comments and held hundreds of meetings across the country, and all of that input really helped shape the final version we're releasing today. Joellen, would you like to take it from here?
Sure. Thanks, Gina. This is Joellen Darcy, and I'd like to give some context for why today's rule is so important. It's an important reminder that the Clean Water Act, plain and simple, makes it illegal to pollute or destroy a covered water without a permit. If you're not doing either of those things, you do not need a permit, no matter the water status. But for activities that do require a permit, we've had to operate under a lot of confusion since the Swank and Rapano Supreme Court decisions. For years now, when someone applied for a Clean Water Act permit, the Corps of Engineers has too often had to go through a long, expensive, case-by-case process to determine whether the Clean Water Act applied, and that was before the permit application could even be processed. This uncertainty in this process has left our waters vulnerable to pollution. It has created uncertainty and a lack of predictability for America's taxpayers. Needless to say, it didn't make much sense. Again, that's what we've dealt with for too long, and it had to change. So our rule will make it clear which waters are covered and which ones aren't. We've always known streams and wetlands were important to downstream water quality. Today, we have far better science that confirms how waters connect to each other. This science was not available when the Clean Water Act was passed more than 40 years ago. In developing the Clean Water Rule, the agencies reviewed more than 1,200 peer-reviewed published scientific studies that clearly showed which waters are most important to protect. In short, clear protections mean cleaner water. So here's what the new rule does in a nutshell. Traditional navigable waters like rivers and lakes, interstate waters, and territorial seas are covered as they always have been. No change. Tributaries, which science defines by the physical signs of flowing water, are included because they can carry pollution downstream. Features that don't meet the scientific and legal definition of a tributary, including erosional features like gullies and rills, and ephemeral features like ephemeral streams, are not covered. The rule maintains the current practice on ditches. Only ditches that look, act, and function like a tributary are covered because they carry pollution downstream. We've also provided certainty on how far safeguards extend to nearby waters. The rule sets physical, measurable limits on covering nearby waters for the first time. For example, an adjacent water is protected if it's within the 100-year floodplain, but not beyond 1,500 feet from a covered waterway. In particular regions of the country, there are unique water bodies that are also scientifically shown to influence the health of downstream waters and therefore may be protected under the Clean Water Rule. Prairie potholes, Carolina and Delmarva Bays, Pocosins, Western Vernal Pools in California, and Texas coastal prairie wetlands are protected when they impact downstream waters. These unique water bodies are critical resources for the surrounding communities. for fishing, for hunting, recreation, for their ability to filter pollution to streams and rivers and reduce flooding. Using the best available science and listening carefully to the public's reaction to the proposed rule, today's final rule provides clarity, consistency, and predictability on which waters are covered under the Clean Water Act, so these vital resources can be protected from pollution and destruction. This rule will ensure that for generations to come, Americans will have the clean water necessary to sustain our way of life as well as our economy.
Yeah, thank you. This is Gina again, and I'd like to point out a few things that the rule actually won't do. Again, a Clean Water Act permit is only needed if a water is going to be polluted or destroyed. That does not change under this rule. The rule only protects waters that have been historically covered under the Clean Air Act. As I mentioned before, the rule does not add any new requirements for agriculture, and it retains all of the decade-long exemptions and exclusions for farming, ranching, and forestry. It does not interfere with private property rights or address land use, and it does not regulate any ditches unless they function as tributaries. It doesn't apply to groundwater or shallow subsurface flow, cover drain tiles, or change policy on irrigation or water transfers. These are all important points that we have made crystal clear. This rule will not get in the way of agriculture. In fact, it specifically recognizes the crucial role that farmers play. And like I said before, adds exclusions for features like artificial lakes and ponds, water-filled depressions from construction and gas swales. Farmers, ranchers, and foresters are all America's original conservationists. And agriculture activities like plowing, harvesting, and moving livestock across the stream have long been exempt from federal clean water regulations, and this rule will not change that. Beyond agriculture, our economy as a whole depends on clean water. Major sectors from manufacturing and energy production to food service, tourism, and recreation depend on clean water to function and flourish. When drinking water in Toledo, Ohio became contaminated and was unsafe to drink for days last year, local businesses suffered. Maybe that's why a recent poll found more than 80% of small business owners support federal rules to protect streams and wetlands. Finally, I'd like to say a few words about climate change, namely that it makes protecting our water resources even more essential. Impacts from climate change, like more intense droughts, storms, fires, and floods, not to mention warmer temperatures and sea level rise, threaten our water supplies. But healthy streams and wetlands can help protect communities by trapping floodwaters, retaining moisture during droughts, recharging groundwater supplies, filtering pollution, and providing habitat for fish and wildlife. With states like California in the midst of historic drought, it's more important than ever that we protect the clean water that we have.